Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ada Marie Show. And today, Ada Marie talks about the spiritual side of weight management. You can ask the Golden Oracle's clients what it's like to work with a seer, spiritual counselor, and healing channel, and you'll get many different answers. Ada Marie has worked countless miracles with her faithful followers during her remarkable career. Some of the most grateful clients came to her after trying everything they could to lose 100, 200, or 300 unwanted pounds. They'll tell you there's a whole lot more to it than just losing weight. So let's talk with Ada Marie herself and this magical woman. And welcome to the show, Ada.
Thank you, Mary. I'm so glad I got in the house in time to get a drink of water. My lady at the hospital today is on her way home, so let's say thank God for that miracle. That's wonderful.
Oh, that's wonderful. You've spent more time in hospitals than you have at home lately.
I have, but you know, it's the heat. It's the heat, Mary. These people, and I even told my husband, get in the house. You cannot be out in this 106 weather, and you're going to have a heat stroke. You know, it's so hot out here, and it's dry or humid, so that doesn't help it any. So this lady went home. She actually went home, and I got in the car, and I flew home. I was doing 75, but I just got in the door, and I went, I got to look and see what time it is. So I'm here. I'm
glad
to be here.
Well, Spirit was evidently really wanted you to do your show today.
Well,
so.
Mary, I want to tell you something. If people are going to go out in the heat, carrying water isn't going to do it. What they have to do, they have to take like a washcloth or something and wet it. And carry it, even if they carry it in their hand. They don't have to put it on their face. They don't have to put it on their neck. Just have something in their hand, because that amount of coolness will go through the body and come out the other side. They can go in any restroom and take a little sponge and make it cold and carry it in their hand. And it will make a big difference in how they deal with the heat. And I found that out myself, but I had been told a long time ago about that, this lady who just seemed to walk around in the heat like there wasn't any.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, just take a little rag and stick it in the palm of your hand and hold it when you're walking.
Mm-hmm.
And by golly, does it make a difference. So I was going through one of my books of things that people could do, you know, because I wrote that book on all these little old-fashioned remedies. And I went, oh, my God, I forgot about that.
We do forget about things that we know, don't we?
Yeah.
Sometimes the things we've known the longest, we forget. We get so busy in our day-to-day life that we actually forget the things that are most important to us.
Well, so, you know, in the summer, they're not very long.
mm-hmm.
And you have to have a summer section, I guess, to remember all the things you can do.
Oh, I guess
my husband puts a cloth sweatband in his hat so that he can work. With, you know, a cold rag, he sticks it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And where is that when he's outside in the sun? So
very good.
There are many things that people just automatically know to do, and especially men who have to work outside. I mean, they have to find a way to stay
and
cool.
You know, it's important that we acclimate ourselves. For example, you know, if you constantly live in air conditioning, when you go out in the heat, it's terrible. But
I'll tell you, we do not live in air conditioning. We have fans, but we do not have air conditioning.
Uh-huh.
So we live without that.
Exactly.
But
let me get you onto today's subject. Because there are an awful lot of people about wondering what you're talking about the spiritual side of weight management.
Well, everyone can talk to someone on the other side, a spirit, a loved one. It's a matter of preparing themselves. It's a matter of keeping themselves harmonious and peaceful. And being harmonious and peaceful and using the white light to surround them, they could talk to anyone on the other side, but they have to be harmonious. You know, you cannot be angry without sending negative energies, and those energies bounce back. Anything you send out is going to come back, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes,
right.
Indeed.
So, for people who really... Go ahead.
Do you think that talking with spirit will help people keep their weight on the side that they're interested in?
Now, will keep their what?
Keep them the right weight. For example, if they want to lose 100 pounds, will talking to a spirit guide help them to lose the weight?
Well, I have never talked to a spirit guide, but I have had a lot of people, Mary, that weighed 500 pounds. And you know what I told them? Quit eating bread. That's all they ever have to do. Any yeast product, don't eat it. In fact, a lady right here in town who needed to go down around 110 pounds, I said to her, we were having coffee, and I said, well, if you really want to become smaller, don't lose anything. Just stop eating yeast, any yeast product, and I will guarantee you that within 1 month, you will drop off 40 pounds. Because what happens is when you eat a slice of yeast bread, the yeast is in your system. So what does yeast do? It grows, right? So if you do not eat yeast bread or yeast anything, you are going to become smaller and smaller and smaller. And stop losing weight. Just become smaller. When you tell your brain that you want to become smaller, it will work on you becoming smaller. If you say you want to lose something, the brain's going to say, okay, we'll take it away, but we'll bring it back, because you can't lose something. You have to become something. I mean, you have no idea. In California, people would come and they would weigh 500 pounds or 400, or they would be on a movie and they had to lose 12 or 15 pounds. And I'd say to them, just become smaller and stop any yeast product, bread. Anything is made with yeast, stop eating it. And sure enough, that weight would, in a week's time, they could drop as much as 12 pounds because they have no yeast in there to keep raising, you see. And
well, how did you learn this, Ada Marie?
Well, I'll tell you how I learned it. This is a funny story. I have two grandmas. One is tall, right? And she was kind of a big lady. And the other one was short, and she was a big lady. One was about my height, about 5 foot. And the other one was my grandma. She was about 5'7", I think. But my grandma, 5'7", carried it. She was a strong woman. She had muscle, and she carried a lot of weight. And my great-grandma said to her one day, she said, Mary, you've got to quit eating bread. You've just got to quit eating bread. If you ever want to get comfortable in your body, you've just got to quit. And see, in those days, everybody made their own bread. I mean, we had yeast and flour. We made our own bread in those days. And so she said, well, how long do I have? Because she liked bread. How long do I have to do that? And my other grandma said, well, till you get down to the size you want. She said, I want to be your size. She said, well, I don't even eat the damn stuff. Well, lo and behold, it took my grandma, she weighed 2-something, it took my grandma about 6 months to go down to about 130 pounds. And she stayed there because she had quit eating bread. And she lived to be 94. I mean,
and
that's how much the yeast affects the body. It makes you tired, first off. It makes you tired and logy, and it kind of inhibits your memory. So if people really realized the power of yeast, they probably wouldn't eat bread at all. But there are a lot of other products that have yeast in them. You got to be careful.
Absolutely.
So,
you know,
yeah,
you're reading more at the grocery store and enjoying it less. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that. Yeah. Well,
I weigh 104 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And when I was hurt, when I was first stabbed, I weighed 130. That was in 72. And when I came out of that, because I couldn't eat for about 5 years, just liquid diet, I weighed 92 pounds.
Oh, my.
And that when, you know, there was no yeast in the water and the liquid I drank. But I remembered my grandmother. I didn't go back to the doctor because I called my other grandma. And I remembered I had a tall grandma. So that was my big grandma. I had three of them. My great-grandma, her daughter, my big grandma, and my little grandma, my dad's mother.
Uh-huh.
She was 5'2". So they all were wise women, you know, and they all had their information. So after I was stabbed, I didn't have any of that. I couldn't eat. I had to live on liquid, and I weighed 130. Weighed 138 pounds, I think it was. I went right down to 92 pounds within 3 months. And so if people really want to become smaller, a lot of times they'll call and I do a counseling for them, and I find out exactly, you know, a lot of times it isn't what they eat that makes them heavy. It's what they think.
Their
thinking is what does it. And when they call for counseling on it, I say, well, you know, I talk to them. And then after listening to them, I can say, you know, this is the wrong way to think. You're not going to lose it. You're not going to lose it. You're going to become something. And this is how you become something. And then I give them the formula. So it's a lot easier to just let your body go down to a normal size by doing what is correct for it than it is to, you know, constantly try to diet. Diets don't do you any good to begin with. There's no such a thing
really
as a good diet.
I mean, and do you feel that it makes a difference when people try to they deprive themselves so badly, and then when they get down to the point that they want to be, then they start eating again, and their body.
But see that's what's wrong, Mary. The diet is useless. You've got to do what you can live with the rest of your life. What the hell good is a diet if you go and eat and bingo? Because if you're losing something, believe me, the body's going to get it back. If you become something, you're going to become something. You're going to stay there.
Do you
understand
indeed
what I'm saying?
Yes, and this is really in the very spiritual realm. I believe that our spirit guides want us to be they want us to be who we really are,
and healthy. They want us to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
about it.
When people eat something that they shouldn't be eating, there are three things that happen after they eat it. They either become very tired and exhausted and want to lay down and take a nap. They become very frustrated and angry and not easy to deal with. Or they become, I call it hard. They become very abusive in their speech. So, okay, I was eating because of my tooth problem. I was eating a lot of potatoes. So when Tina Marie took a sample of my hair, first thing she said to me, "You are allergic to white potatoes." And Mark started laughing. He said, "That's all she's been eating for the last year because her teeth need to be fixed." And she turned and looked at me and she said, "Well, quit it. I haven't had a white potato since. And I have felt better, and I have not been tired. I haven't not been lazy, and I have not been having, you know, leg cramps or anything." So she was right. And that was just from a hair sample, from the roots of the hair at the nape of your neck. And she said, "Well, you better quit for a while." So, of course, needless to tell you, I quit. Because if I went to a doctor, he'd put you on a diet, and he doesn't have a clue about what your body needs or doesn't. But you do a hair sample, and you'll find out real fast. And well, that's what I did.
And that's very interesting because when you feel satisfied on one level, and you're not satisfied on the other. How do you work with that?
Well, if you're okay, so people will get in the habit of eating one food not because it's satisfying, but because their system will handle it. You know, I had 5 stab wounds in my stomach, and some ordinary food that you would find no problem to eat, I couldn't eat it because my stomach everything healed, but a lot of the nerves in there, I think, never got hooked back up. So it's like, okay, I cannot drink a glass of iced tea because I get deathly sick. And you would think that there's nothing in iced tea to make you sick, but obviously something down there doesn't like iced tea. Right.
Maybe it's the cold. Can you eat ice cream?
I can drink ice water. I cannot drink iced tea, although I don't drink much ice water because I don't think it's good for the body. If you drink hot coffee, your body will cool off because the hot coffee goes in and sparks the cooling of the body.
It opens the pores and things. So, that you can, it opens the pores.
I think I got to get a better phone, Mary. Hold on. I'll be with you in 1 second.
Okay.
I think this phone is going out. I've been on the hospital line today. And hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
better?
I can hear you just fine. Yes, it's fine.
Good. Good.
Drinking hot water and things and coffee will open the pores.
Yeah.
So will a warm shower, and a lot of people will take a cold shower to cool off.
Right.
And what that actually does was it closes the pores and keeps you warmer.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
So.
And I don't know if many people know that. It's probably in their upbringing that their parents didn't know and didn't tell them these little tricks. But
I know.
I don't know how it is, but I do know that people, they really suffer with the heat when they really wouldn't have to, you know. Because if they drink ice water when it's hot, their body's going to heat up.
Yes.
It'll be cool for 2 minutes, and then it'll heat up because that's what the body does, come back to its normal temperature.
That's right.
So
exactly.
That's not a good thing. And
no.
A lot of people take water to drink at work, but if they were taking cold water without ice, their body would cool off faster. Because it would be normal, would be a normal temperature.
Right.
So, but anyway, where were we at? We were talking about something about spiritual growth or something.
Yes. Well, what I was thinking about listening to your spirit guides And that will help you to choose the right foods.
Well, in the first place, in order to listen to anything, you have to shut up, right? So you go into a space, you have to turn your head off, go into a space of silence to where, say, okay, I'm sitting here looking out my window is a beautiful tree. And if I wanted to go into the silence, I would be silent, looking at the tree, just looking at it, not admiring it, not just looking. In other words, I'm not thinking, I'm looking. I'm just seeing it. And then as I go into the silence and I close my eyes, I have that beautiful, beautiful green view, right? It's in my head now. So I can go into the silence, the very, very wonderful silence, and stay there with no thought until I receive a message. Now, for a lot of my students, some of them could do it in a week, some of them could do it in a month, some of them couldn't do it for 6 months. But if they continued to practice, eventually they could do it. Now, I would tell them, when you get up in the morning, take a look at your feet when you sit down in the bathroom. Look down at your feet. See what your feet are telling you. What is the colors that come around your feet? And most people say gray. I said, well, keep looking because those colors are going to change. And when they change, they're going to give you a clue as to how you really feel. So after sometimes in a week, they would say, well, I saw green around my feet. I said, well, that's a good energy color. And somebody else would say, well, I saw blue, a really pretty blue. I said, well, that's wisdom. You know, you're going to get some kind of a message that's going to be very helpful to you today. And so after doing that class for, well, I always did them 10 weeks, so at the end of 10 weeks, everybody could come in and say, I applied for a job, and when I went for my interview, my feet were blue. I said, good. And I got the job. So, you see, it's a matter of trusting, and here it is. It's a matter of trusting that silent wisdom. And I don't know what else to call it, Mary. It's just a silent wisdom. It's just a feeling you get inside. It comes within, and it's silent wisdom. And I don't know any other way to say it. I really don't. It's there. It's like today. I'm coming home. There's not going to be any obstructions. I'm going to get right up here because it's 75 miles from where I was an hour ago to home, and I'm home. And I just knew. I cleared the road. I got to the corner. I got around the corner, and I got in here. So, you see, your mind is very powerful. If you have positive, constructive thought, it has to be positive and constructive because otherwise it isn't going to work. Now, some people send out very, very hateful messages, but everything you send out returns home to roost at some time, maybe not right away, but sometime or another, it'll come back to sit on your doorstep because the ripples go out in the ocean and they return to shore.
Yes, indeed.
Just remember, folks, everything you think, if you don't control that thinking, you're going to deal with one way or another. And I'm really, really positive that most of you don't even pay attention to what you think. You know, you don't. Some people complain so much.
And
listening to them can make you tired.
That brings up something.
Yes.
How do you train people to listen to what their spirit guides are telling them? How do you do that?
How do I do what?
How do you train people to listen to what their spirit guides are telling them?
Well, the only training that there is for that is the silence. They go to the silence, and then that energy in the silence will give them a thought. Because if it says it gives you a sentence, it very likely is a thought. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you could be driving to work, and on the way to work you could say, my goodness, I'm just wondering how Mary is. And then the thought will come, Mary's okay today. And then that's okay. In other words, those are the kind of questions that I say to people who have long drives. I say to them, send out a message on something you want to know, and the message will return to you. Mm-hmm. And so you get these messages, but they come as thoughts. It isn't like I'm talking to you or you're talking to
right.
me. It's a thought in
uh-huh.
your crosses through your head.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts are things. They become reality. And the class on Thoughts Are Things is the most joyful class I ever taught. It's more fun than you. I'd like to do the class on the internet, but I don't know how to set up a class. But that's one of the best classes there is, because once people get it, and it takes about the first 6 or 10 weeks to get it, then their whole life changes, because they change their thought pattern. So,
yes, I cannot tell you how many people I have spoken with who would say, I knew it, and I just ignored it. I tucked myself out of it. And look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I got this feeling, and I just felt like something was going to happen, and I talked myself out of it. So how many of us do this?
How ridiculous is that?
I know.
You know? Well, they put in there. Well, maybe it won't. Maybe this. Maybe that. And you're right. They talked themselves out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just is like, what? Ridiculous. You know, on the way home, I said, the road's going to be open. I'll make it. And guess what?
Uh-huh.
I did. Before I got in the car, all the way to the car, I said, okay, I need an open road, and I need to be able to drive 70 miles an hour, and I need to get there. And I did. And there was nobody there to stop me.
Uh-huh.
My husband would have had a heart attack.
That was amazing.
But it's
absolutely amazing. And the wonderful thing was that the person you were working with at the hospital is all better and going home.
Right. And you know, now I've been there. I've made 11 trips since the last time we talked. And every one of those people have had a sun. We call it sunstroke when I was a girl, but they call it. They got another name for it now, but it's the same thing.
Heat prostration or heat prostration or something like that.
Right, uh-huh. Prostration. That's what it is. But it's the same thing. It's no different. So that's what I'm saying. It's just no different. And these people are. They just have to mind. They have to mind the weather and stay out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, all these trips are—they're expensive to drive because it's 75 miles one way from my house to the hospital, and 75 miles back.
Uh-huh.
And so sometimes I've been lucky, and somebody else has come in while I was still there, and I went to see them too. But people have to think. You know, it's 100 and, what is it out there now? It's 102 degrees, okay. This is no time to be outside working at all. And they always made fun of the Mexican people because they took a siesta, but they were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They sat down at 11 o'clock and they rested until 4. And then they could get up and work, you know. It was smart. They were intelligent. So that's what has to happen. People have to stop and think. The sun isn't working weather. The sun is resting weather. My husband right now is in there sleeping. So.
Right.
Yeah. And he should be. Because he got up early this morning and went to work. And he quit about 11 o'clock. And that was a good time. He needed to get out of the sun. A
very good time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pardon?
So what do you feel is the most important thing that you can tell someone to dealing with heat?
To do what?
In dealing with heat, in knowing what when they've reached their limit and when they can still stay there.
Well, they've reached their limit when they begin to feel like they're fading. In the first place, most of them don't wear big hats to keep the sun off the upper part of the body. If they do, and they start to get dizzy or weak, they've overdone it. They should have stopped before that. If they are working and they begin to get uncomfortable and maybe make a mistake or stumble, they should quit.
Uh-huh.
You know, they should quit. They're just, why are they putting their body through that? And some people say, well, I can't. I said, well, there's only two can'ts in one job, you know. Either you do it, or if you can't, you're not going to be able to stay on the job because you're going to be in bed sick.
Uh-huh.
You're going to be down sick. My husband was out the other day too long, and he was a sick man for 2 days.
Uh-huh.
So I said, you can't do it. You got to wait. You got to wait until it cools off. Then you can do it.
You and I are more, shall we say, we are more in touch with our body and what's going on with our body. And some people seem to be completely, they're unaware of their body until they collapse. How can you help people to become more aware and more in touch with their own body?
Well, it's their brain that's not in touch. Common sense, which is in short supply, Mary, very short supply. Their brain is telling them, and they are ignoring it. You can't stop somebody from being a fool. If they're going to be a fool, they're going to be a fool, and they pay the price. But, you know, common sense would tell them, I've had enough. I've had enough. Well, we went through that. When people picked cotton with bags, you know, they had bags and they went along picking cotton, and they would collapse in the field because they got too hot. That was wrong. Those people should have been out of that field and picked later in the evening, right?
Of course.
But
of
they
course,
didn't.
But,
their master,
but,
whoever. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
we don't have
sometimes people get the same feeling about a job.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's amazing. It's amazing, but it's true. But people feel that they have to do this and they have to do that. And there are times when it's wise to slow down, and they don't.
Well, now
and
let
then
me
they
explain
want...
to you. When I had a nursery, and I had 50 children in the nursery, and I worked from like 4 in the morning until about 11 at night. And I kept getting the message to slow down. I kept getting that message, Mary. And I said, well, okay, I won't take any more kids. This is it. I'll just stop right here. And I didn't take any more kids. I kept getting the message. Well, guess what? Somebody showed up in the nursery. I was on the couch in the living room of the nursery, and all the kids were in bed. It was about 11 o'clock at night. And this guy came in and took a knife and stabbed me 26 times. I slowed down, came to a full stop, right? So now, when I get the feeling that I've done enough, not too
mm-hmm.
much, but enough, I quit. It was a very rude awakening. I mean, it's taken me years to get over it. So like I said to Mark the other day, I was out there helping him. I said, I got to quit, Mark. I can't do any more. It's too hot. So I went in the house. And I stayed in the house because I could not do any more. That was it. And like I told him, I said, this is it, Mark. I can't do it. Because a few years later, like 40 years later, I got a little brains. You know, I can say, no, I can't do it. But when we're young, we think we can. Because when you're younger,
yes,
you think, Mark, when I was young, I used to
think we're invincible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. And that's when we tear the body apart. So we got to be a little kinder to it. You know, Rick and Mark and I were down at the gate talking the other night, and Rick says to Mark, he says, Mark, we're not 35, we're 75. And he says, we just got to do it a little bit different.
uh-huh.
So it's true. Go with the time. I mean, if you're healthy and you're getting around, then don't push your luck. I mean, you don't know when you've overstretched things, and don't do it. Just don't. I came in the house the other day, and he had to quit because he needed help. I said, so you quit. We'll go out tonight when it's cool, and we'll do it. We went out about 6 o'clock that night, and we just zip, zip, zip. We had it done. And he couldn't say anything because I said, this is it, Mark. It's 3 o'clock, and we should be in the house. We should have been in the house at 1 o'clock. But we didn't get in there till 3, and at 6:30 we went out and just weren't so easy. And that's what everybody should do. They should take a look at what they're working with and the timing, and then, you know, make space for themselves so they can stay healthy. You got to stay healthy, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to stay healthy. These doctors say don't know
the first thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And most of the doctors don't know the first thing about making you well. They only know how to give you a pill. And if you read the side effects of the pill, you wouldn't take it to begin with.
Absolutely. So,
you know,
what do you think about the like, for example, the high school kids who are they're practicing for football in August.
What?
And the coach is pushing. Oh yeah, they have high school children. You know, they're on the team and they practice for football in August to get ready for school.
And they do it in the daytime?
Yep, they sure do.
My goodness, girl.
Mm-hmm.
At home, they didn't. The summers were very, very hot, so there was no school. So school would start on September, day after Labor Day. And
This is not school time. This is getting ready, getting the team ready to play football when school starts.
Oh, well, at home they started practice. We will, okay, and the day after Labor Day, school always started. So a month before, that we had a big gymnasium where they practiced in a gymnasium with their tactics and whatever else they were doing and who was doing what and, you know, with each other. But they weren't out in the hot sun. And then closer to the day school started, September, day after Labor Day, they would go in the late afternoon or evening. They'd go like 6 o'clock in the evening on the field outside and practice. So that kept them from getting sick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People had more common sense in those days, I think. I don't know, but it was better.
Mm-hmm. But when we lose touch with our spiritual orientation,
well,
many things can go wrong.
That's right. That's right. if people who really want to grow to know their spirit guide, they have to sit in silence and just sit there in silence and be silent until they can find thoughts that move through their head that have nothing to do with what they're doing throughout the day. Like when Grandma would make us sit and be silent, our silent thoughts would be whatever. Okay, the first very silent thought I had in my head was a banana. Now I lived in the prairie, and we never had bananas except once a year. But the first thing, and I wasn't thinking about it because I don't, you know, we were kids. We had other things to think about. And the first thing that I thought in my silent state was banana. And I kind of smiled when I thought of it, because when Mama made Jell-O, she cut bananas up into Jell-O, and we would each get a couple slices of banana in our Jell-O. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, and I thought of that, and so Grandma said to me, "What did you think? What came to you?" And I kind of hesitated, and I said, "Well, when Mama makes Jell-O, she puts a banana in it, and we get two slices of the banana." And she said, "But what made you think?" And I said, "Well, I thought of Jell-O. I could see red Jell-O." She says, "Okay, that was your first thought. That was what was important. The first thing that came, the fact that we got Jell-O with bananas in it, that was secondary. But the first thing that came to my mind was Jell-O." You know, and so she took me down the path of Jell-O and how rewarding that thought was, because it was a positive thought. And it's the positive thoughts that come that make you able to grow up into a spiritual state of thinking. They can be little mm-hmm. thoughts, you know. My sister could see the baby kitties, and the baby kitties were there. And her first thought was the baby kitties in the mm-hmm. barn. And that's mm-hmm. a positive thought. So there's many, many positive thoughts that you can get. And mm-hmm. and then little by little, you know, as you grow up and you get older, you get you get more thoughts about things you're doing. So when I get up in the morning from 4 until 5, I'm in the silence. And once in a while, I will receive a thought. And when I come out, I write it down to see where it fits in my day. And sometimes mm-hmm. it don't fit at all. It shows up a week later. And sometimes it shows up that day. So these things are all valuable if you just have the patience to wait. I mean, if you have the patience to wait, they're very valuable. So, I mean, I have a book that I write in all the time. And then I can go back and look when something comes up that I thought of a month ago. I can go back in the book till I find it. It's my book of shadows, I call it.
I see. Do you know how rare it is today for anyone to allow a child long enough in quiet to even think, even to receive such a message? The children today, they have appointment books, and they go to school, and after school they have after school things, and then they have either sports, or they have ballet, or they have, and younger children have play dates. I mean, 4-year-olds today are having date books, and their whole day is so filled with to do things and to go places, and the next, and children today are not allowed to daydream,
to sit by themselves and be silent.
Yes. to stare into a daisy? Just stare
into
a daisy.
They keep them too busy doing things instead of teaching them to solitude, joy of being silent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand these parents. They get them in about three different things they have to do every week. So every week they're busy doing something else. And not one time are they left to sit down and contemplate what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
No,
you know,
it isn't.
Kids need some quiet space so that they can just sit down and think and not have to answer to something that they don't even understand. So,
mm-hmm.
There
used to be something before television. We had play like.
Yeah, and they went out to play, and the kids today who go out to play and actually physically play outside are healthier and smarter and wiser because they've had to encounter whatever was out there and look at it, think about it, and have some kind of a response in their head about what it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And kids don't play outside today. You don't see any of them outside. There are families that do have a yard in the back that the kids can play in, or a yard
mm-hmm.
in the front if somebody's out there to watch them. I mean, it just, it's amazing. One lady was watching her two little kids play in the front yard, and she was standing in the window. And somebody reported her because she wasn't outside with the kids. And they came and arrested her. She said, "I'm standing right here in the window. I'm watching them." Well, you have
mm-hmm.
to be outside with them. What kind of nonsense
mm-hmm.
was that? She could have got out the door very quickly.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it is just so stupid. The stupidity is
mm-hmm.
ridiculous. One lady set her little girl on the back porch until she quieted down, and that was her punishment, to sit on the back porch. They put her in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the wrong kind of punishment. Who's to say what punishment is good and what is bad?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when you think of sitting and being still as punishment, my goodness, how
yeah.
interesting!
It's just
mm-hmm.
not right. It's just not right. So, used to be we could go outside and play, and nobody said anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could just go outside and play.
True.
Yeah. And we didn't have fancy toys. Oh, my goodness, no. My older brother, he was a lot older than us. He really wasn't my brother. He was my cousin. He took some blocks, made them into little
mm-hmm.
cars. And we were on the ground running our cars up and down. We made roads and run our little cars up and down the roads.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was great because we learned something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we learned how to make a car first, and then we learned how to drive a car by holding the top of it, you know, and taking it
mm-hmm.
around the yard. We had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, but today they get all this crazy bright stuff, and they just break it up, and they have no consciousness of taking care of it, because they can get another one. And
yes.
part of learning, little kids need to learn how to take care of stuff. And so do people. Some adults need to learn how to take care of stuff, but they grew up not doing it. So I don't know. I just see things have changed.
How do you feel that their connection with spirit seems to be thinning out?
Well, I don't think people sit down with their kids anymore. Like, you know, we grew up in families where people sit down at night after dinner and
mm-hmm.
Would learn chapter verses in the Bible. and do that. They don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't see that happening. Just very few families do that compared to what it used to be.
And there were card games, and there always was somebody who had a piano, and people would sing around the piano.
Right,
you know?
Right. And they would sing, and they would, you know, I don't know, the things were so nice. There wasn't all this hellabaloo and these computer things that just I see kids going down the street talking to each other on a computer. Each one of them are talking to each other on a computer. That's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. I said to Mark, look at that. They're standing side by side, and they're not talking. They're looking at the computer, and they're texting each other.
Uh-huh.
How stupid is that? Because they need to do something, so they need their hands busy. So they're not looking at each other. They're not talking to each other. They're texting each other.
That's
true. I mean,
if
it comes to a time when nobody speaks to each other, they walk down the street and they don't talk to each other. What's that about?
Very strange. That's very strange.
Yeah,
yes.
It's not looking good, girl.
And then they have the spell check, so they don't have to learn how to spell either.
No.
And then they use the shortcut things.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing.
I wonder if the being in touch with nature is so different. Sometimes they'll have a little garden in their school, and I think that's wonderful. You know, there are people here and there that are working very hard to bring the energy of the world. I mean, you don't have to have a churchy thing to be in touch with God.
No, you don't.
And
that's the last thing you need to get in touch with God. You need to sit down and ask him to come to you and fill you with his love and light, and you will do that long enough that you will get that warm, wonderful feeling of complete peace. But people don't. Soldiers did that in the wartime. When they came home, they had that peace, even though many of them were damaged. There were times when they had to be alone, and when they had to be alone, that's what they did. They thanked God that they were alive, and they were grateful. But somehow or another, it's disappeared somewhere.
So now
all
you bring in another important spiritual thing.
Yeah. And
one of the spiritual laws is gratitude. How important is that?
It has to, see, you know, we have to have some peace here. I have a couple of things here that I say twice a day, morning and night. And I know it's helped a lot in a lot of spaces. But let me read this to you. I am calling, I am, that's God. I am calling forth the prevention flame from the great, great silence to move into every big city in this nation and prevent the hate that enables destructive forces to act. And I do that twice a day, three times. And it's helping some. We haven't had quite as bad a situation as in the past. And then I do this,
Well, I'm listening.
Okay. And this was, it says, I am demanding the great central sun's cosmic Christ blue lightning annihilation of all hate and all life everywhere in this world. And I think those two affirmations are very strong and are doing some help. And anybody who wants one of those can write me. I will send them a copy. Because
and where can they get in touch with you?
At 520-896-9510. And if they call me and give me an address, I will send it. That's something that, you know, and I am on the internet, thegoldenoracle.com. Ada Marie at thegoldenoracle.com. That's my email address, Ada Marie at thegoldenoracle.com.
Very good. And the now, when you work with these affirmation prayers, do you have a specific time that you work with them every day, or?
Well, in my case, because I don't have a house full of kids, I can when I get up at 4 o'clock, and I do my first hour of silence. Then the next thing I do is these two affirmations, and then I do the healings. I send the healings to everybody on my healing list, and I send out that healing. And if they call me, like a lady called me this morning, and she was doing a sale, and I sent her several good hard zaps to make the sale, and she did. So that was good. And people on my healing list can call, and when they call, they belong to it, they pay for it, they pay $50 a month to be on that list, and they get extra work because they have an hour every month that they can call and ask questions, and they get help. And my retreats are the same way. If they do a retreat here with me, I give them 1 month after they have gone home that I assist them in their growth and their energy beside all the book work I give them. So, you know, I do a lot of work. Yes, I do. I start at 4 in the morning, and I'm lucky to get to bed at 7 at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my day. After 7 o'clock, I answer the next morning. 7 p.m., I'm in bed.
Okay.
And at 3:30,
so...
I'm up.
Okay.
So, you know, that's what happens. I mean, that's my day, and when I can call, I call. We've had so many people with sunstroke. They're calling it something else, but that's literally why I've been running back and forth, because they've all done themselves in. So,
I hear you.
Yeah, that's not smart.
No, it certainly isn't, But when you are working with people, it may tire you, and yet it may energize you at the same time because you're working with the spirit.
Well, because I'm bringing the energy down through me, that's how I get energized.
Exactly.
And when people call and they really they're having a real trouble with the weather or the heat, and a lot of people have been calling about the heat. And I tell them, put your feet in a pan of cool water, not cold, not ice water, cool water, and let the body absorb that coolness through your feet. And they'll call from all over, and I tell them that's what you do, and share it with your neighbor. So I want them to share it, because that way, there's one of me, and they can share with a half a dozen people or more. But just put your feet in a pan of cool water and sit there for a while. And the water will warm up because your body is hot. And then you're done. You got to get out of the pan of water. So that's what happens. I mean, that's what I tell them. And I don't know, what time is it, Mary?
Well, we have about 30 seconds for you to say your blessing.
Oh, and I will. I am sending divine pure love and light to everyone who has heard the program to share with their friends, because divine pure love and light is the most perfect love there is. And I wish all of you to have a sense of divine pure love and light. It is the white light that surrounds you, that surrounds objects, that surrounds people, and you have that emanation of white light surrounding you, so use it. Send it to friends. Send it to loved ones. Send them to people who are ill. Use that white light. That's why God gave it to us. So divine pure love and light is sent to you and everyone you know. And I ask you to please enjoy the light that comes to you, because you are using something that is very, very helpful for your body, your mind, and your actions, your thoughts. So that's
and
what I can tell you.
Until next week, we wish you love and light.
That's
bye.
Correct. And thank you. Okay, bye-bye.